the Lord helping us again. And I would ask your attention to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20, and a part of verse 15, and then 16 and 17. The second book of Chronicles, chapter 20, part of verse 15, and then 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them, behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Reminded this morning from the context of this great prayer meeting that was arranged, and the purpose of it was to present before the Lord Israel's need. Three great enemies, far greater in strength than these people of God, these Israel of God were, and they had but one weapon to use, and that was the weapon of all prayer. And the Lord enabled them by his Spirit to pray. And as we reminded you this morning, how that the Lord in his wondrous goodness supplied them an answer. They stood before the Lord and waited for the answer. And it was through Jahaziel, the Levite, that the Spirit of the Lord came. And so we have these gracious promises, and indeed the comfort, which are to the comfort of those Israel of God. We said the way, you know, that we must come as we may apply these words, because the pathway is not only for the Israel of God in ancient times, but the spiritual Israel who shall dwell under that new covenant, shall know what it is to be brought against them, much opposition, three great enemies. We mention the world, the flesh and the devil, as the apostle reminds us of in the New Testament. But we said also that the lot of the people of God is in this way, that they are brought to nothing, brought absolutely to nothing in their own strength and wisdom, and their need is so great for the Lord's appearance. There is a standing still, you know, in this respect, where that the Lord is sought for, his appearance is sought for, his help is sought for there is no help elsewhere. There's a casting of the burden, whatever that burden shall be, upon the Lord and the Lord alone. And we said that preceding the blessing of the promise, and as we shall look at also the fulfillment of the promise, there has to be this preparation time, this coming to nothing. And we reminded you of the familiar text, O our God, wilt thou not judge them, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Now they were eyes of faith. Eyes of faith. Their eyes spiritual eyesight was directed heavenward to the God of Israel. And indeed, as we again must remind you, dear Jehoshaphat here was able to remind the Lord of past blessings. He reminds the Lord of his omnipotence, his greatness, his ability. But then he has that to be able to say to the Lord what he has already done for them in the past. And so to present before him this new trouble, this great burden, this great exercise, and they sought for the Lord that he would appear, and the Lord did appear. And as I have said, spoke through Jahaziel, "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Now it is a great mercy, my friends, in the times of your trials and your exercises, where you're enabled to cast then this burden upon him. I do believe you know that there is often a forsaking of prayer meetings by many because they're only prayer meetings. And I've had to see them, and I believe it is good when our eyes are opened and our understanding is enlightened to see what a great privilege it is that the Lord's people have this grace given to them, this way of escape granted to them. My friends, have you ever examined what a prayer meeting really is? Have you ever laid before the Lord? Have you ever been in a place where there's only him that can help and him and only he can deliver? My friends, to meet for prayer, or whether it is in public or in private, where the Lord's dear people can approach the mercy seat. My friends, have you ever took a believing view of the prayers and the places where the people of God are brought? You know that that you and I should be able to attend a prayer meeting if we attend it in a right way, with the right spirit. My friends, we are wholly dependent on the Holy Ghost for prayer. It's not a multiplication of words, you know. It's the leading and the teaching and the gracious help of the Holy Ghost. All those who speak in public prayer, let alone those who in private petitions before the Lord in the secrets of their home or elsewhere, my friends, we're wholly dependent on the Holy Ghost for prayer. There's no prayer otherwise. You wasn't born with prayer. My friends, the apostle knew when he was called by grace what it was to pray. And I suppose if a Pharisee read his conversion, he said, well, he's always praying because he's a Pharisee. But he's never prayed as a sinner till God touched his heart. He never prayed as a needy, hell-deserving sinner till the Lord stopped him in his wild career. My friends, the Holy Ghost is the teacher and the instructor of all the people of God as to the real exercise and burden that prayer is. But let me also remind you, the Old Testament scriptures, of course, were built around and spoke much about the Old Covenant ways and mercies. And there was no approach to God in the Old Testament scriptures unless they presented the sacrifice. And that was the only way that they was to approach God, through the sacrifice. My friends, the new covenant has got a sacrifice, and it's the Saviour. It's that blessed, glorious God-man, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name and through his shed blood that sinners, sensible of their need, taught by the Holy Ghost, may draw near to a gracious God in glory, pleading alone the all-prevailing name of Jesus. This is what the prayer meeting's about, you know. These are the blessings which the Lord has given his church before they ever ask for anything. The way to God through the shed blood through the sacrifice, make mention of his name, my friends. Lay his name before the Lord. Tell the Lord what Jesus Christ has done. Tell him what he said. Those are the grounds on which you and I can draw near to a throne of grace in glory. Oh, it's, my friends, these people who despise prayer meetings do not know, my friends, the cost, the price that was paid, that poor, needy souls, dependent souls, burdened souls, sin-stricken souls, Satan-tempted souls, these are the characters who draw near, and they draw near upon and pleading alone that all-prevailing name. You know, there's a wonderful word, there's a gracious word in Ezekiel. My friends, I've walked in this path, I know what I'm talking about. When burdened with the case and condition of others, the Lord speaks to Ezekiel and he says this, not for thy sake, not for thy sake, O house of Israel, will I do this thing, but for my holy name's sake. And there's the ground that you and I can pray on. The Lord grant us then more the spirit of prayer as you gather for prayer twice on the Lord's Day and during this week that is started, or at your family altar at home. Ask in his name, plead what he has done, point to those mercies that you've known, give him glory and honour for past blessings, and as the poet tells us, ask him still for more. My friends, I don't know a greater privilege outside of heaven other than salvation, and it is only those who know this that can draw near to God. I've often said, you know, you couldn't put a step inside Buckingham Palace to speak to the Queen. They wouldn't let you. But my friends, they can't stop you drawing near to the mercy seat in that precious name and asking for blessings far beyond anything this world can give. But it is these words then that has stayed upon our minds. Thus saith the Lord unto you. And this was the answer to prayer that they were waiting for. And as we said this morning, this was a prayer by the clock. Then all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children, and they were waiting for the answers. My friends, when you pray, watch. When you pray, watch. The Lord tune your ears that you might hear his voice until he does. Wait on him and wait for him. We quoted the apostles' words in his epistle to the Colossians this morning. Continue in prayer, watching unto the same. My friends, if you've got a burden, if you've got a God-given burden or a God-given exercise, there is a waiting for him and a waiting upon him. There's not just a laying the matter down and say, well, I've prayed about it, I now can go on. My friends, you'll watch over your prayers. You'll look for answers. You'll seek the evidences from God until that time is come where you'll have to be where the poet was when he said, I can no denial take when I plead for Jesus' sake. Thus saith the Lord unto you. And so this was the answer. And the answer was a precious promise, a gracious promise. Thus saith the Lord, it fell from the lips of God by the Spirit of the Lord into the heart of Jahaziel. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now we said this morning, I think we stayed mostly on these words, that there was first of all in the waiting upon the Lord and indeed in the receiving of the answers, there was first of all the removing of anything and everything that man could do. They was in a place where they were brought to nothing, neither know we what to do. But it was also a place where they were brought into submission. because having waited upon the Lord in their poverty and in their need, they were to wait on the Lord in submission, that the Lord will bring to pass that which will be their deliverance. And they were enabled, of course, as we know, to fall before the Lord in thanksgiving and praise. But I thought of this too during the interval between the services. My friends, there's a grace needed to wait on the Lord in this respect. And Psalm 46 has the word at the close of Psalm 46, which reminds us of the Lord to his people is a present help in times of trouble. But the close of that psalm has these words in it: "Be still and know that I am God." My friends, there's much grace needed to be still. There's much grace to cast one's burden of work and wait for him to bring deliverance. My friends, how to be still in the times of great need? I believe a child of God finds it's more difficult to be still than be anything else. "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The Lord enable you if you're in a trial or affliction or in an exercise which the Lord is bringing to pass, that you will not be afraid." My friends, if you look at the doubts and fears, you'll be afraid. If you look at the faces of the world, you'll be afraid. If you listen to the taunts and accusations of Satan, you'll be afraid. If you look into your own evil heart and it starts to remind you of the hardness of the way and the many failures that you have proved up to now, you'll be afraid. My friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ walked on the lake of Galilee, we find that he called Peter, and Peter stepped over the out from the boat and he walked, and whilst his eyes were on the Saviour, he was safe. My friends, it's when he took his eyes from the Saviour and looked at the waves and the billows that he began to sink. And how often is it so when we are in our times of difficulty and trial, the Lord may appear by speaking a great and precious promise to you. But my friends, when you take your eyes off him and the eyes of faith, when you listen rather to the distressing whispers of Satan, you begin to sink, you begin to be distressed. Be not afraid. What was the cause of the confidence then of Jaaziel? "The battle is not yours, but God's." This great God, this God of Israel, this God that had brought them through 40 years of wilderness from Goshen to Jordan, to Canaan, and over Jordan. This great God that had appeared, that had sustained them and supported them, brought safely by his hand thus far. Why dost thou now give way to fear? Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. And it is a great multitude, isn't it, that opposes the Lord's dear peoples, their pathways, their concerns, their cares, all sorts of things. You know, the Lord works. I often feel this is so, and it is so hard for old nature to accept it. But you know, the Lord often works against sense and reason. And he works always against the powers of Satan. And he works against, too, the way in which the natural mind is so often the distressing part of us. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. But I want to come to this, my friends, too. One of the great weapons in which Satan is so soon to use, of which we have no fight or no might either against, you know, is when Satan reminds us what we are. When he begins to tell you and I that we're fallen sinners, when he reminds you of the slips and falls, of the doubts, when he reminds you, my friends, that you're a sinner before a holy God. And oh, how distressing that is. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. But my friends, tell me this, and you won't be able to, but tell me if you can, when did the Lord answer your prayers on the merits that's in your heart? My friends, he never did. He's never answered a prayer on any ground but his holy namesake, upon the grounds of mercy, on the grounds of his covenant promises, on the grounds of his appointments for you and for me. Answers prayer, indeed he has, but he's never yet answered prayer, my friends, on any grounds of merit of old nature. But you know, that's something that Satan often drags up before the people of God when they are troubled and tried over the matter. And their prayers and supplications are often, injected with fear, because he reminds them of what sinners they are and of what ground they can stand on. Or the fallen wretch as you, pray before God who's holy and just. My friends, we have in Jesus Christ a precious intercessor. And it's on his name, and it's upon his merit, and it is upon his finished work and his shed blood that you can approach. Nothing in yourself, nothing at all. You've learnt it, and you'll learn it again and again. There's no ground of hope in all and anything that we have done. But then, you know, sometimes the Lord's dear people are brought to fear and be dismayed by even the volume of the multitude that is against them. Well, David was in a place once, you know, when, as you know, the Lord rejected Saul as Israel's king, and the son of Jesse, David, was anointed by Samuel as Israel's king to succeed him. But you know, the kingdom was not his until Saul was defeated. And I mean that from a possession point of view. He was king according to the Lord's will and purpose. But Saul went about to destroy him. And many ways in which he was tried and troubled as Saul set about his destruction. And he came to this one day, and my friends, that's where God's people will come, before the day of deliverance. One day I shall fall by the hand of Saul. My friend, what a strange pathway is it? Is the pathway of a child of God, raised up as the Lord raised him up as and anointed him as Israel's king to succeed Saul, whom he rejected. But such was the lowness and state of his mind, subject to that harassment of Saul and going about to destroy David, he had to say one day, I shall fall by the hand of Saul. But you know, he never did. And none of the Lord's people will fall. They shall come to low places. They shall be rock bottom in experience, I suppose we may describe it. But my friends, Israel's God is never too late. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. My friends, this is where grace is needed to be still. Be still and know that I am God. I thought also of that occasion in the 14th of Exodus where the Israel of God had come out of Goshen and they'd come to the first obstacle, and that was the Red Sea. And they cried against Moses and against Israel's God that they'd brought them out to die in the wilderness. And what was seemingly worse was that the Egyptian armies were hastening towards them, the Red Sea before them, the mountains all about them. Impossible situations. And of course you remember the words which Moses, the man of God, spoke to them. words which he hoped, I suppose, was to be a comfort and a strength to them. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. But you know, it wasn't a time of standing still. There's something here, my friends, for the Lord's people. It may be that I draw boat of venture here. The Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now, in going forward was their deliverance. And again, if you turn at your leisure to that chapter we read in the, or the book rather, we read in the first, in the third chapter of the book of Joshua, rather, you'll find there that they were in a similar place. They came to Jordan, and Jordan overflowed its banks at times of harvest, and it was an impossible situation for Israel to cross into Canaan. But the Lord made a way which was supernatural, and he gave them a promise. My friends, it's a promise that you must venture. Those who know the exercise of the pathway set before them, my friends, the tomorrows, as which we shall come to in a moment if we're able, those things which must be taken up with and dealt with. My friends, when they came to Jordan, the Lord's people must do something. And you say, well, you just told us they can't do anything. It's venturing by faith that what they must do. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that shall come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. My friends, there was the way that was set before them. They were to venture. Well, perhaps you've not been guilty like some of us have had to do so. We want it all cleared up before we do anything. We want the Lord to appear and to remove this burden and that burden and that way, and to make for us the way so plain that there's no exercise of faith in it. My friends, whatever the Lord lays before his people, whatever exercise, there will be this, the exercise of faith. Well, in those two cases, they weren't to stand still. They were to continue, they were to go on, they were to venture. And they were to venture upon the word of his grace. Now, this is what they did here. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they shall come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now it's verse 17 that I want to attend to for the rest of this service. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord shall be with you. Now there's two things I want to come to immediately. My friends, they are to go in the strength of the Lord. They are to go according to the promise of the Lord. When the Lord speaks to them through Jahaziel that they were to stand still, that is that they were not to do anything physically. They weren't to take up arms. They weren't to try to bring about a victory. My friends, God was to have the glory in this matter, not man. The Lord shall have all the praise and not the puny efforts of man. They shall not do anything in that respect, raising up a finger against their enemies. And my friends, those things that are in the that are hindering the pathway of the people of God, those things which you must take up, the tomorrows of your lives, the appointments and the ways in which the Lord will have you go, my friends, there is to be a standing still, but there is in the standing still, the Lord will remove anything and everything that brings glory and honour to your name, and it shall all be his. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, my friends, you can stand here upon great and precious promises. And these great and precious promises will be your support and your strength in whatever lies in your path. Whatever trial or affliction, whatever thing it is that brings fear and distress to your soul, may the Lord apply these promises. And on the strength and the comfort of these promises, the Lord's people will be brought into a path of deliverance. Now let us look then, you shall not need to fight. Now, I said there was one or two things I want to come to immediately. My friends, first of all is this glorious promise that the Lord will be with his people. I read purposely in the 31st of Deuteronomy, then again in Joshua 1, of the same words. But there was a word in the 31st of Deuteronomy which was a word of great comfort to his people. And that was this: The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. My friends, it is well to pray the Lord will go with you. But my friends, pray also the Lord will go before you. There's been many a crooked place made straight, you know, when the Lord's gone before his people. When you arrive at what you feel is to be your destruction and your distress, to prove that he's gone before you. He's made the crooked straight and the rough places plain. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. As I said when I began, my friends, it is one thing to pray over a matter, but the exercised child of God will not only pray over it, will be seeking to watch and seeking to wait upon the Lord, and the Lord will reveal the deliverance by this truth. The Lord will be with you. His very presence, his very support, his strength, his wisdom, his grace, all those things which will be in the lot and pathway of the Lord's dear people, is going before his people. It's making the way straight. He will be with his people. The Lord Jesus said, did he not, when he was at Bethany, when he ascended back to glory, he promised them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, they were to wait at Jerusalem till they were endowed by the Holy Ghost. And they waited at Jerusalem, but they waited also in the knowledge that the Lord would be with them. And lo, I'm with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. You remember in John's Gospel, where he speaks of going away from them, he reminds them, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. My friends, when you have the Lord's presence, you have his approbation, you have his smile, you have his strength, you have his grace, my friends, to support you and help you. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. But then I want to speak also to those who have these exercises in their heart, put there by the Holy Spirit. Exercises that they must accomplish, they must walk in, and they must attend to. My friends, as he put these words this day before you, is to comfort your heart and to strengthen your faith and to enable you to venture upon his word and upon his will. And you know that there's two words I want to remind, first from the scriptures, that will remove all hindrances. And that is this, the 110th Psalm. And you'll find these words in it: thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. My friends, that will take away. And what is in the willingness, my friends? What does the Lord do in the hearts of his people to bring them to a willingness? How do they comply to what the Lord has appointed for them? My friends, they may be like these dear people of God here. They're no doubt, as they call that prayer meeting. Well, it says, doesn't it? And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. throughout all Judah. There's much fear as to the whatever is before them. My friend, steps that they've not took. There's a tomorrow which they dread. And there's these things which brings hindrance to the walk of faith. But my friends, when the Lord says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, what is the power that he uses? What is it that he, I was going to use, constrains? The apostle reminds us in his epistle, and he says this, the love of Christ constraineth. The love of Christ constraineth. Let me read you this. Has God a command to fulfill which nature untoward would shun? Love brings to compliance the will and causes the deed to be done. My friends, that is how he works in the heart, and that is in his ways. Whatever those ways are, I'm not setting up pathways. The Lord knows your path, but the Lord also knows your exercises. If there are those souls here that have exercises within them, and those exercises are the Lord's will and purpose for them, my friends, they may fear these things. They may fear their insufficiencies. They may fear their poverty. They may feel to be absolutely destitute. But David says, doesn't he? He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. My friends, it is a battle. The trial of faith is a battle. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. My friends, you know whether you've got a tomorrow. I don't know. The Lord knows what is in his mind and will, his exercise, your soul over, what matter concerns you. And my friends, you may look at these exercises and you may look at these promises. And sometimes the Lord takes a long time in the fulfillment of his promise. Some of the dear servants of God have had to prove many years they've carried their exercise, but they carried it till the day when the Lord opened the door and made the way, and he and those promises and those exercises came to pass. But my friends, they may well look, and we do look at these things and say, well, we know we cannot see how it will be accomplished. There's many things that are against it. But my friends, they will be accomplished what the Lord has promised or appointed for his people. But oh, this sweet and precious promise at the close, the Lord will be with you. My friends, is there anything better? It doesn't matter where you go. My friends, if you've got to go into hospital for an operation, the Lord be with you. If you have to join this church, the Lord be with you. Whatever the Lord has appointed for you or for me, my friends, distressing as it may seem to old nature, or indeed so often we listen to those doubts and fears that rise in our hearts, but the Lord's promised presence. I remember when I was went to sit at the Lord's table for the very first time. And I was given a word at that table. Before we attended to that ordinance for the first time, the Lord's servant gave me this. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. My friends, we don't know that the steps are appointed, but they're also hidden. We know not the future, we don't know the tomorrows. But my friends, whatever it is, providential or spiritual, seek this blessing, and if you've got this blessing, you don't need anything else. The Lord will be with you. And my friends, the Lord will be with his people when his will and purposes are being performed. My friends, he cannot help but be with his people because he's made the way. And he's overthrown the hindrance, and he's put out of the way those things which distress and trouble, the impossible things. We read this chapter this morning down to the 30th verse, and how wondrously the Lord put to naught the enemies of Judah and Jerusalem, how Jehoshaphat's prayer was remarkably answered in such a way which was indeed supernatural. My friends, the Lord put his hand to the work, first for deliverance of his people and for the destroying of his enemies, and they come to nothing, and they ended up fighting themselves and they destroyed themselves. But my friend, did it not prove the promise? Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Then again, you shall not need to fight in this battle. There was no need to raise a hand. The Lord did it all. My friends, have you those things then which you fear? Especially, you know, the in workings of sin and of Satan in the heart, the unbelieving nature that we carry about with us. We've come to the end of the service, and the end of this day's service is here. But my friends, there's many things which distress the Lord's people. There's many things of their tomorrows that they fear. They wonder how it will be in the swellings of Jordan. They wonder how it will be when Satan keeps reminding them that they're such great sinners. But they may, by the gracious leading of the Spirit, know what it is to have a great Saviour. And my friends, he's an unchangeable God. Did not Paul write to the Hebrews in that same last chapter that I've already referred to and say, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever? And my friends, so he is to the Lord, so he is to his dear blood-bought family. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Let me close with these two lines of a hymn. Jesus Christ, thy Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. Amen.
Service by singing hymn number 980 to the tune Nuremberg 381. Number 980, when sins and fears prevailing rise, and fainting hope almost expires, Jesus, to thee I lift my eyes, to thee I breathe my soul's desires. Hymn number 980. Thank you.
pray that thou would wash with thy precious blood all that has been done in thy house this day. Lord, we have to prove that it all, the sin is mixed with all we do. Oh, cleanse it from all that's wrong. Own and bless thine own precious word. Let it not fall to the ground and be lost, Lord. Oh, bless it to thy people. Lord, take us now on our way in safety and in peace. Remember us. Appear for us those who meet in the Lord's house this night. Grant all needed grace, Lord, to continue. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit the Comforter remain with us each, now and always. Amen.